Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
You know, the first Sunday of the month, and sometimes we get away from this and forget about it, but we kind of designate it as a Mission Sunday. Anyhow, that's why we do the BGMC, and if you made your faith promises, you know, just encourage you to put those in and on this first Sunday of the month. So it's good to actually hear of our missionaries that went to New York and everybody that sacrificed for them to be able to go, whether it's financially or whatever it may have been. You may have had to watch all your kids all week, Rodrigo. And so, I mean, there's different things that people did in order for others to go. And so I appreciate that. Amen. And God will bless that, and in return will come upon it. And I thank the Lord for that. And so it's good to hear that, you know, making a difference. And that's what the church should do. And that's what we are to have that mission mind about us. Well, turn with me this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. The title of my message is Strategic Missions this morning. Talking a little bit about missions. If you don't have your word with you, we'll have it up on the screen. But before I read this morning, I want you to think of this first point that I want to bring out. And that is a great idea, but wrong strategy equals failed missions. And I just want you to think of that. A great idea, but wrong strategy equals failed mission. As we read this morning in this passage of Scripture, we find the stories about David, and he's just came into his kingdom that God has set aside for him. And it says, then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, if it is of the Lord our God, let us send our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel with them to the priests and the Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us. And let us bring the ark of God to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today we thank you, we praise you. Lord, we're thankful for the time of worship together this morning as we gather together on this first day of the week. And thankful, God, for the times of prayer and the offerings, and also for the testimony of those that had went on a mission trip. And Father, we pray that you'll continue, Lord, just to flow into this message, Lord, that you would continue to challenge our hearts where we're at, God, with you in the mission that you've given the church, we pray. In Jesus' name. You know, when we look at the first part of what I'm speaking of today, a great idea but wrong strategy equals failed mission. You know, when we look at the story there with David, it's not like God objected to the idea that David had, and that was to gather everybody together and the priest and all of them, let's go get the ark. He didn't object to that. The ark actually represented God's presence among the people at that time. And Israel had the ark when they crossed over dry ground, and when the priests stepped their feet into the Jordan River, it became dry, and they crossed over as they carried that ark. They had it marching even when in their first battle going around Jericho. They had the ark going around Jericho. It found its resting place in a place called Shiloh, and Eli, and with Eli as the priest, even where Samuel was there for a little while. And we find that in the midst of a battle, Eli's boys, who were rotten preacher kids, came back and got the ark. And they thought, well, we're losing, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it, and it will help us win the battle. Even the enemy says, oh, no, we're in trouble because the Ark is coming. Can I tell you, just because you have superstition, that's not going to mean you're going to win. Or it doesn't mean you're going to win. And this is what exactly happened. They lost the Ark, and the Philistines ended up with the Ark, and they put it in the same room with their God, and which they had Dagon, a figure of a god that they worshipped. And I love that story. If you haven't read that story, you ought to read it, because they came in the next day and Dagon was laying on his face. God didn't have to do that. I think he was just telling him a little bit about some things. And they finally ended up with a bunch of problems going on, and they decided to send the ark back to the Israelites because they said, we can't have no more of this ark in our country. Because it was just causing them to have a very difficult life. And so they loaded it up on a new cart and put a bunch of gold rats on there and idols and stuff and sent it aside with a cow. And they said, if it's of God, it'll go where it needs to. Sure enough, it did. And it went into a village of Kirjathjearim at Abinadab's house. And it remained there for quite some time. Even during Saul's leadership, Saul didn't seek it. He didn't go after it. And so David had the idea. He knew what the ark represented. He knew that it represented the presence of God. And he says, let's go back and get the ark and bring it into the rightful city. Which, matter of fact, the rightful city was Jerusalem's, where he's going to bring it, because it is called the city of God and the city of David. But it is the place that they call where the temple is. So the ideal and the thought of it, God did not object to what they were wanting to do. He didn't send a prophet and says, I don't want you to do that. I mean, you know, in the scripture, you'll find God, when God didn't want you to do it, he would object to that. He would, you know, he told David, he told the prophet Nathan, he says, no, I don't want you to build my house. But he didn't object to the ideal of getting the ark. He didn't object to them doing this. Can I tell you this morning, this is Mission Sunday, to win the loss is always a great ideal for the church. Amen? It is always a good idea for the church to win the loss. Because after all, I've quoted it, you know what it is, Matthew 28 speaks of that. That is our commission from the Lord. It's always a good idea. It is his desire that none should perish and that we all do our parts as missionaries, because we are all missionaries. I heard it said. You know, you may not it may not be your full-time occupation and it may not be my full-time occupation, but every one of us, in a sense, are missionaries. I've heard it said that if I am not a missionary, then I'm a mission field. Now you think about that, and this is God's heart, that all of us in some sense, some way, you may not be that person that says, I need to go to New York and do that, but God will send people to New York. But that does not release me from the fact that God has called me to be a missionary somewhere. I know we have missionaries that are full-time, and we support them. In America, we have them across the seas, and that's what their full occupation is. But also at the same time, that does not release me as a pastor, and it does not release you individually from being a missionary for God. So when we think about that, so for us to have the idea of winning the loss, God does not object to that. Amen? I think every church should have that thought, that mission of winning people that are truly lost. Not just feeling the cheers up with people, warm bodies, but actually seeing people that Gunner talked about that make a 180. That 180 says they're coming and they're serving God. I think that should be the mission of the church, to share the gospel that changes people's life. See, the problem though with David, it wasn't the idea, because God didn't object to that. The problem was the strategy he had to complete the mission. The strategy is an interesting word. It's talking about planning and talking about getting things to where it would actually work like it ought to. We read in 1 Chronicles 7, chapter 13, verses 7 through 13. Let me get over there. I don't think I have it on the screen. If you want to turn with me to scripture there, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 7 through 13. Now listen to the strategy here. He says, So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio. I thought, is that how you pronounce that? And I checked it. That's how you say it, Ahio. So the cart, drove the cart, and then David and all of Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing and harps and on stringed instruments and tambourines, on cymbals and with trumpet. And when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand out on the ark to keep it because the oxen had stumbled. So we find here, they're moving the ark. That's David's ideal, to move the ark back to Jerusalem. They're all going. They're having a big praise and worship service. Can I say this morning, God doesn't mind our praise and worship service, but it ought to be that which honors his word. Amen? It ought to be something that brings glory to God and his word. And they were praising and all that, and all of a sudden they had the ark on a cart. After all, the enemy had transported it that way, and it didn't hurt them. Can I tell you, God is gracious sometimes to those outside the church, more gracious in the things of God than he is to us in the church, because we know better. Does that make sense? Judgment is that way. And so we find this, and the oxen stumble, and Uzzah reaches out and puts his hand upon the cart, and God strikes him dead. Now, I know that's a bit, I'm glad God doesn't work that way regularly in the world that we live in. But the whole thing is this, is the idea was great. God did not object to the idea, but the strategy that David came up with in order to bring the ark into Jerusalem was not the way God would have it to take place. The strategy was wrong. His mission was good, but the strategy was not like God would have it take place. It failed, and when it failed, we find in the word that David got upset and ceased trying to do that very activity. The ark ended up in Obed-Edom's house, and it stayed there 3 months. So it was taken to another place. It wasn't taken to Jerusalem because David, because it didn't go right with his strategy, decided not to try to fulfill the mission. Now, I want you to think about that just for a second, because it does not go right. David stopped the mission. Idea was not objected by God, but something was not right, so he did not go forward in the mission. Can I tell you this morning, our mission, when our mission fails many times because of wrong strategy, the mission to win souls sometimes does not come out like we expect it to do, and therefore we quit. We quit. Have you ever known somebody that's just going to take a little break and never came back? I did that growing up. We owned a parts business, a mechanic shop, and all this stuff. We had a machine shop, and I thought I wanted to learn how to be a machinist. So I went there one morning with Paul Reimer, and we started to work on some heads, and he's telling me you have to be precise with this and that. And so I went to lunch, and I never came back. I decided that's not what I wanted. So I looked at another area to work in my dad's business. But I want to tell you, it's sad because many times we take a failure as if it can't take place, as if it cannot happen. David had the thought, what shall I do? We tried to move the ark. The idea was great. Bring it to Jerusalem, God's presence in the community of the holy city. But yet he stopped because of failure. Come on, church, I'm saying today that there's many things that the idea was right, but perhaps the strategy was not right. The strategy was not what God wanted it to be, or it wasn't something. Take for instance the neighborhood around the church. Before I got here, there had been many outreaches throughout the decades that this church has been here. I even heard it when I mentioned outreach in around the our neighborhood. Been there, done that. In other words, we've been there, done that. It didn't result like we wanted. The results were not like we wanted. And since I've been here, since 2008, we myself included, have walked the neighborhood many times, knocked on doors. I remember one thing that we did just right after I got here. We had some pew Bibles that we wanted that had been exchanged for other pew Bibles. We had them all sitting there. We gave out every pew Bible that we had by knocking on a door and meeting every person that we could have a Bible for. We had one Bible come back to us. Said, we don't need that. But I'm just saying, over the years in outreach, it's not like this church has not tried. It's just sometimes it doesn't work. And it seems like sometimes we spin our wheels. But listen, many of you have tried winning someone, whether it's a family member, a friend, a business associate, yet to meet a closed door. Can I tell you the idea is approved from God to win that person? He is approving you to do something in that person's life. It's not that he doesn't want that person. Perhaps something is not right about the strategy. Perhaps something is not right about outreach that we do around San Jacinto. Perhaps something's not right about my outreach into my family members. Or perhaps something is not right. My heart is right. My desire is right. But perhaps I'm going about it the wrong way. Because see, we find that in this story. Perhaps just like David had a great idea but used the wrong strategy, perhaps we have done the same when it comes to those people that we want to see saved. How many of you have somebody this morning you want to see saved? Somebody in your little circle, that intermediate circle, that the same blood may run through your veins. We all have that person in our life. Can I tell you, you may be the only link to them being saved. Now think about that for a moment. The ideal is great. But can I tell you, like many times in our outreach and the things that we do, when it doesn't work, we have a tendency to do what David did and just leave. Stop. Not going to do it anymore. So David's going about his life. You'll read another couple of chapters in that passage of Scripture, and you'll find David's doing this and doing that. And in the midst of it, he hears that Obed-Edom, his house is being blessed because the Ark of the Covenant is in it. It comes to him. I bet David, he's thinking, well, I'll never get the Ark ever again. And then someone comes and says, hey, David, I want to tell you something. You remember when we left that Ark and we quit trying to bring it? God's blessing's coming down on the place. Can I tell you, David wanted God's blessing. It wasn't necessarily the riches of it, but the presence of God. And so God starts to stir his heart again. Can I tell you this morning, I want God to stir our hearts for perhaps some projects or for perhaps some people we've almost gave up on, or perhaps for outreach that we've almost gave up on, that God would start to stir our hearts once again and realize God's still in the people winning business. We heard some of it today where God used them in New York City. You didn't hear half the stories, I imagine, that happened in New York. And God is still into it. God needs to stir the hearts once again back into that good idea of winning somebody to Jesus. I know it's tough, and sometimes I'll just sit back and let you go to hell. What an attitude, right? Can I tell you this morning, a great idea with the right strategy equals mission accomplished. The idea with mission, with the right strategy. This time, David went and used God's method. He went back. He heard blessing was happening in Obed-Edom's house, and he says, something's happened. God is not upset with us. Well, I wonder what's happening. So David starts to do a little research. 3 months had passed, and he heard this. In 1 Chronicles 15, listen what it says in 25 and 26. So David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over thousands went to bring the ark up, the covenant of the Lord, from the house of Obed-Edom with joy, because David says, you're not getting the blessing, I'm getting the blessing. I don't know if he said that or not, but I threw that in there for you. But I'm just saying something stirred David's heart again. And so it was when God helped the Levites, listen to what it says, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and they offered seven bulls. The priest and brought the success story. David did research. God had told them, you're not to carry the ark on a cart. You are to have the priest bring the ark and bear the ark. In other words, David did some research. Why couldn't we bring the ark? Why couldn't we bring it into Jerusalem? And the very simple fact is the thing that he did not read in the Word of God. After failure, he went to the Word of God, did research, and found out they need to bore, or bear is a better word, the ark on their shoulders. And it says they got it on their shoulders, and then they started to doing the same thing. Listen, they danced, they praised, they worshiped God. And David danced all the way to Jerusalem. Why? Because they made one step. And he looked around, and it was still working good. And they made another step. It was still working good. Oh, God's got to be with us. And he just, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Everything was going like God wanted to do. Why? Because the whole strategy came out of the Word of God. It was planned in the Word of God. It was purposed in the Word of God. And now God was receiving their worship and their praise, and he was letting his presence come into the situation. It's there that we have successful missions when we start to bring things about according to the Word of God. Oh, thank you. Am I sounding that bad? I've been camping for a couple of days. God gave us some beautiful night, though. It was beautiful, except for the neighbor that snored. His worship is accepted. Can I tell you this morning, winning the lost needs a strategy from the Word. To win the lost, we need a good strategy that is from the Word of God. Now, just think for a moment. David was sitting around. He said, hey, let's go get the ark. And he popped out. And he said, let's get some guys. Let's go get the ark, and we'll bring it into town. It was very unplanned. It was just a thought. How many times have we thought, well, I'll just go tell that, I'm just going to go win my dad or whoever it may be, and we don't really think it out good. Or we're going to win the neighborhood, but we really don't think it out good. Well, to be successful, David had to get a strategy that came from the Word. Because winning the lost needs a strategy from God's Word. I want to give you five strategic things this morning in these next few minutes that I believe that we need to have when it comes to winning somebody to Jesus Christ. The right strategy, in one sense, is first that we must have a love for them. It can't be about just numbers only. It's got to be a love for that person and for that soul. It's got to be a love so much that it is moving us to do something about them coming into the kingdom of God. Without loving the lost, we will never win the lost. Come on, the Bible tells us God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting love. The very first strategic thing, the Lord says, I love them enough to send my Son. If we don't love the lost, I know there's a lot of things the lost do that we don't approve of, but can I tell you, I've heard it said more times than one, is that we need to love the person, not the sin. Amen. We need to love them enough that we're going to share Jesus. We have to have a love that makes a difference. Love. God loved you and God loved me. Even in my mess. Every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that God loved me just like I was. And love is one of the first things. We got to have a love for that person that is wayward. An old fable tells us how different instruments tried to master a piece of iron. The blows of an axe fell heavily, but its edge became more and more blunt. The saw's relentless teeth worked until they were worn down or broken. The hammer's head flew off at the first stroke. Despite all the efforts, the iron remained unchanged. Finally, the flame curled up gently around the iron, embraced it, and never left until the iron melted under its irresistible influence. Can I tell you this morning, love can melt a lot of things. Love can melt a lot of things. And love is something got to be one part of that. And another thing right quick this morning is holiness is a must. Holiness is a must. The Bible tells us, and it speaks of this, and Jesus is speaking of winning the world unto him. He says, ye are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What is that speaking of? That's talking about separating from the world in such a way, living differently, that people will want what you have. Holiness, it's not something preached on much anymore, but it's separating. Can I tell you this morning that there is power in living holy that makes the demons and his helpers tremble? You take a person that's separated unto God, and the devil does not like it. There's power in holiness. And I'm not talking about the way you dress. I'm talking about the way you are in your life toward God. Holiness is powerful. Another strategic thing that we can do is prayer cannot be skipped. Prayer is not something you do right before you go out. Listen, don't get me wrong here. But we plan a whole event, and then we're going to say a quick prayer before we hit the streets. That doesn't work. Prayer cannot be skipped when it comes to winning the loss. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel, so I sought a man among them who would not make a wall and stand in the gap before me and on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. That's talking about intercessory. That's talking about interceding. Isaiah 59:16 says, I saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Talks about interceding. I believe with all my heart, if we're going to have successful missions, if we're going to see our loved ones saved, we're going to have to spend time, not just before we witness, but we're going to have to spend time bathing and soaking that place or that person in prayer. It's not going to be just a moment of prayer, but it's going to be a lifetime of prayer toward those that need Jesus Christ. There's something about prayer. I'm just speaking this morning. Jesus, when confronting the Pharisees that accused him of working with the devil and being on the devil's team, said this, Matthew 12:27-29, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter, listen to what he says, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder its good unless the first you bind the strong man? Listen to that. Unless first you bind the strong man, and then he will plunder the house. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 and 4 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strong strongholds. I'm going to tell you whether you like it or not, whether we understand it or not, when people are truly deep in sin, there's a stronghold that's in their life. And some of the most difficult people to win unto the Lord is ones that have been raised in the church but now are wayward. There's strongholds in this neighborhood. There's strongholds across I-40. There's strongholds throughout this community of Amarillo. And the way a stronghold is taken down is by prayer and fasting and believing God's going to do an amazing thing. How are we going to be victorious? We need a word, God-given strategic attitude toward how we're going to win the lost. It's strategy, my friend. And it is not easy. It takes hours. It takes time in order to pray. You cannot skip the prayer time. I shared with Gunner one time, I was trying to win my dad and mom back to the Lord. When I was young, we went to church until I was about 9 years old, somewhere around there, and then we never went to church again. When I got saved, I was working for dad. Matter of fact, the only one that was working for him at that time was me, the only boy. And I would get in my dad's face and I said, "You need to get right with God." Had my preacher voice. No, I wasn't a preacher then. But I would give him a hard time because he went to church. He knew what it was and all this. And then we would just have arguments and we would be upset. And I wasn't getting anywhere. And God spoke to me one time. He says, "Pray. Pray for him. Pray for your mother. You're not getting anywhere with your attitude and the way you're going about it." What happened? I had the right ideal, but the wrong strategy. So I started praying for them. I zipped my lip, and that's hard to do for a guy like me because I've always got to voice my opinion about something. You that know me. I had the privilege when I was pastoring in Campo to watch my mom and dad get up out of the pews, walk down, and give their life back to Jesus Christ. Prayer. Prayer cannot be skipped. It is one of the most important strategies to win a neighborhood. I'm going to tell you, when darkness has a grip and darkness has a stronghold, it isn't nothing but the light of Jesus Christ that's going to set people free and the anointing of God flowing through God's people. Hallelujah. I'm saying today there's possibilities. Strategy. Strategy. Folks, today, we're dealing with hearts that have been in a tremendous drought from the things of God. Tremendous drought. I love the rain that we've been getting. You know, that little bit of rain, you can hear the ground go. We're in a tremendous drought of the things of God in the country that we live in. And there are some family members. Their hearts are very hard due to false religion, acceptance of perverted ways is normal, drugs, alcohol, so-called church practices that are not godly, backsliding, anti-Jesus and the church, and the very simple fact that evil abounds in the time that we're living in. Can I say today the only thing that's going to break that is prayer? Prayer is what's going to make the difference. We must take time to pull the strongholds down because it's there that God. Involve the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convicts, we find in John 16. He's the one that endues us with power, we find in Acts chapter 1:8. He will equip us with gifts, we find in 1 Corinthians 12. He is the one that will lead us into when we are to share the word of God. We find in Acts 16, he led Paul where he needed to be. We need the Holy Spirit to be in the midst of us. Strategy. And this is one of the major things. Once you get there with that person, I got to tell you, you need to share Jesus. Amen? You need to share Jesus. We need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto God. Amen? You've got to share Jesus. You can do all the strategies or pray for them, but you need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the one that changes. I'm going to tell you, you can feed people right into hell. You can just be kind and all that, but somewhere in that process, they need the gospel of Jesus Christ shared with them because it's the gospel that changes people's life. It's the gospel that brings them from darkness into light. Amen? This morning, as I close, everybody stand just for a moment. Some of you are trying to sleep on me. I need you to wake up. I'm just saying today, perhaps, I'm not giving up on the neighborhood around this church. But I'm going to tell you, Amarillo needs more than just Jesus in this neighborhood. Come on, there's some wealthy folks, wealthy neighborhoods that need Jesus. Amen? But I'm going to ask you this morning to think of one person that you need to have saved. One person in your circle this morning. Many of you raised your hand a while ago about that. And I want to challenge you this morning. How many's got somebody in their mind right now? Whether it's the workplace, maybe it's at the house, wherever it may be, or get that one person. Can I tell you this morning, Sarah, I don't know who you raised your hand about, but you do. Keep your hands up for just a second. Nina, I have no idea who you're raising your hand about, but you do. God hadn't put me in that person's life, but He's put you in it. Derek, I don't know who you got your hand raised for, but God does, and you do. Loretta, I don't know who you are. I can guess, but I've decided a long time ago, unless Holy Spirit reveals it, I don't guess. But I'm saying, Rodrigo, I don't know who you got yours up for, but you do. You know what? It's your responsibility this morning. God has put that person in your circle. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Get a strategy. One that's with the Word of God. And I believe the best thing you can start doing right now is start praying for them. Praying God will just work in them. Sometimes you'll find that you'll try to speak truth and it's not received. May the Holy Ghost melt those walls down. Amen? May the Holy Spirit move in their lives. You don't even have to say something like this. I didn't go to Dad and I said, Dad, I'm praying for you. You best get ready. My dad had a little, he could be like me a little bit in some areas. But I'm just saying today, it's your responsibility. Let me ask you, how many have ever tried to win them to the Lord yet? See, hands are up. Don't give up. Don't be like David and stop just because it didn't work. Get the right strategy is what I'm trying to encourage you to do. And if they come to San Jacinto, that'd be great. But if not, that's great. The main thing is that they get where they need to be with the Lord. Amen? I tell you, just because you're a member here doesn't get you to heaven. Being in the right relationship with God does. But God is interested in their souls. And He's put that name upon your heart to pray and be that person. So I encourage you, amen, start lifting them up daily in prayer. Maybe miss a lunch for them and say, God, I'm believing you're going to move in their life. And, you know, you can sit back and just grin a little bit. When you see their life start to turn upside down a little bit, you can say, oh, that's because God's working, amen. You say, Pastor, I know how it works. I've been there. I've watched. I've seen God touch people's lives. Prayer is about the most powerful thing you can do when it comes to being ready to win somebody to the Lord. Amen. Lord, today, Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of those that we heard from that have went to New York and that whole group, God, just all kinds of conversations and people touched by the witness and the event that was planned out, had the strategy from the Lord, God, and it was successful. We thank you for that today. And God, I pray in each one of our lives, God, as we have those people in our circle, God, they may be at the workplace, at the home, God, wherever it may be, just that are in the circle that we see them, Lord, there are some that have confessed this morning that they have tried to win them, the Lord, with no success. But God, today we're praying, Lord, as we look at this in a different strategy, Lord, that you will bless that. And Lord, that you will work on these people's lives, God, that their hand, their names were raised for, God. Their hands were raised for their names, God, in this house this morning. And Lord, we're praying to see, God, testimonies. We're praying to hear, God, as you're working in people's lives. Some of them, God, we've almost gave up on because they seem so difficult and dead set not to ever get right with you. But Lord, you are able to break that chain and that stronghold. And Father, we pray for that today. God, we thank you, God. We pray for the activities that we do in the church. Lord, may we have a strategy, God, that will bring your success in it. Now, Father, may you bless each person here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.